Hello and thank you for joining us for another of our Lent reflections from Stretton Vale Baptist Church. As we continue on our Lent journey towards the cross and the empty tomb, we encounter Jesus. Jesus who brings transformation to all those who seek him. The Gospels are full of stories in which an encounter with Jesus leaves the person transformed. Many times this transformation is immediate, as is with the case with many of the miracles that Jesus performs. When Jesus heals a person, he doesn't just cure their physical difficulties, but instead restores the whole of that person. And then there are times when the transformation is more gradual, and the person is slowly changed as they listen to Jesus' teachings and begin to understand who he is. We're going to look at examples of both of these. I want to imagine what it would be like for these people to have their lives completely transformed because they met with Jesus. So I'm going to read, to start with, from Mark 5, verses 21 to 34. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Jesus has arrived. Everyone is talking about him. They are saying he is a great healer, a powerful teacher, one who has authority both in words and in actions. Is it true? Would he be able to help me? I have tried everything to stop the bleeding, but nothing has worked. I have spent all my money on doctors and healers, but none of them have been able to help. Some have even made it worse and made me hurt more than usual. I'm desperate for life to change. I cannot stand this much longer. There he is. Oh, and there's Jairus, the synagogue leader. Everyone knows who he is, even me, though I'm not allowed in the synagogue. Well, apparently Jairus' daughter is very ill and he wants Jesus to go and to heal her. So, of course, everyone follows along, wanting to see Jesus heal someone. There are so many people pressing in on him, and he's so busy, making his way to Jairus' house. There's no way he will have time for me. He probably wouldn't even want to come close to me. Everyone thinks I am unclean because of the bleeding. They stand far away from me to make sure they don't touch me. They even whisper about me or laugh at me behind my back when they think I don't hear. But I can hear. I always hear their insults and mocking words. It hurts so much. There's no way that Jesus would even glance at me, let alone help me. I'm less than nothing. No one wants anything to do with me. Maybe I could just touch his cloak. I mean, I know I shouldn't touch him. It would make him unclean as well, but surely just the edge of his cloak is okay. And I just know somehow that touching his cloak will heal me. I don't know why I believe that, but I have to do it. I can't let this opportunity pass me by. Now, it worked. I know it worked. I can feel his power rushing through my body, chasing out not just the illness that caused my bleeding, but somehow purifying me. It feels like he is somehow giving me back my dignity, my worth. I'm no longer the unclean nobody that everyone laughs at. I'm different. New. Like I've been given a new chance at life. Oh gosh. He's stopped. And he's looking around, asking who touched him. He knows what I've done. But how? He couldn't have felt it. I only touched the edge of his cloak. But then he looks straight at me. And I feel like he's staring into my soul. And so I have to admit to the whole crowd that I was the one who touched him. I'm trembling, head to foot. What is he gonna do? Is he angry that I dared touch him? I do the only thing I can think of, and I throw myself at his feet. Please let him have mercy on me. I know I deserve punishment for being so bold, and... But he looks at me with kindness. Even, dare I say it, with compassion. He smiles gently and says to me, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Daughter. He called me daughter. He is welcoming me into the family of God. I've been excluded from religious rituals for 12 years. People have said I'm unclean and cannot meet with God. But this man, he has cleansed me and he welcomes me. He's called me daughter. For the first time in such a long time, I feel like I finally belong. Jesus has changed my whole life. So that's a bit of what I imagine the woman might have been thinking as she went through the amazing transformative experience of encountering Jesus and being healed, body, mind, and soul, by him. This story and others like this, both in the Bible and more modern day experiences, are amazing, and they always leave me breathless with wonder. But they're not something that I can personally relate to, as I've not experienced that sense of immediate transformation, either for myself or have I seen it in other people. But if you have, that is amazing. And I'd love to hear your story. Feel free to add your story to the comments or to contact me on social media so that I can hear what God has done in your life. But perhaps many of us have also not experienced a dramatic transformation like the woman had. However, just because we don't see such a dramatic display doesn't mean that transformation isn't happening. There are many people who experience a gradual transformation throughout Jesus' ministry and beyond, as they are impacted by Jesus, who helps them to grow and develop day by day. And one example is the disciple Simon Peter. So I'm going to read again from Matthew 16, verses 13 to 28. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "That shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." In Matthew 16, Jesus announces that the man named Simon would become known as Peter, because he would be the rock on which Jesus would build his church. It seems that this is the moment that Peter might be transformed into the strong man of faith that we see in the early church. This is what it must have felt like to Peter, who had seen the amazing things Jesus had done. Was he going to get a special blessing from Jesus that would enable him to fulfill the things Jesus said? It's this moment of absolute joy and excitement as Peter recognised who Jesus was and thought, "This is the moment my life is going to change and I'm going to be dramatically transformed." But instead, Jesus starts to talk about his suffering and death at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And of course, Peter thinks, "This isn't how it's meant to happen. Jesus isn't going to suffer and die. I won't allow it." And so Peter tries to forbid Jesus from walking the path that is laid out for him. And in a matter of moments, Peter has gone from the heights of faith and divine experience as he recognised Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, to delving down to the depths of ignorance and pride as he tries to stop Jesus from fulfilling his work. In one moment, Peter is being commended for his insight and wisdom, and in another, he is being rebuked firmly and accused of becoming a stumbling block to Jesus' mission. I can't even begin to imagine how Peter must have felt throughout this episode. However, I think this roller coaster of highs and lows often reflects our journeys of faith, where there are times of real spiritual growth and maturing, and there are also times where we take a wrong step. But through it all, Jesus is there with us, cheering us on when we grow in faith, and disciplining, guiding, and calling us back when we start to go the wrong way. In both the dramatic and the gradual transformations that we can experience, Jesus is there. He stands with us. And just as he spoke to the woman with bleeding, so he speaks to us, calling us sons and daughters, family to God. He welcomes us into his kingdom of peace, freedom, and transformation. And he is not finished with us yet. He continues to transform us each and every day as we grow more in faith. These stories of transformation have been passed on to us because people were so amazed by who Jesus is and what he did for them that they were eager to pass these stories on. How have you been transformed by Jesus? How is your life different because of the faith you have in God? Pass on your stories to others. Let them hear what a difference it makes in your life to be a follower of Christ. We have been reminded this Lent about the power of stories. So allow your story to have a powerful impact on others. When we tell our stories of God's transformative power in our lives, we allow God to speak to others through our words and to begin a work of transformation in their own lives. So some thoughts for us this week and for life as we move forward. think about your life? What are some of the key moments of transformation in your life? Or what ways might your life be radically different if you didn't have Jesus in it? Perhaps write out these things and use it as a prayer of thanksgiving and celebration as you acknowledge the power of God in your life. Secondly, be on the lookout for opportunities to share something of your story with other people this week. Ask God to provide an opportunity, and also ask the Spirit to give you courage and the words to say. And then thirdly, after you've had a conversation, reflect back on it and give thanks to God. Celebrate what He is doing in and through you. Let us tell our stories of God's amazing transformative power. And let's see God work and transform the lives of others. Amen.